to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this?
Hey guys, we are in episode 12 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about my favorite time of the year, Christmas. All the awesome things there are to do there. The Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, the Candlelight Processional, all the Santas around the world in Epcot, and the snow and awesome and merriment that is Disney at Christmas time. This is Farrah.
This is Jimmy.
This would be Tom.
And this is Ed.
And let's get rolling. Before we actually start today on our great discussion of everything Disney and Christmas, we do have a new segment that was brought into us by a listener. And Ed is going to start that segment. It's Disney News.
Thanks, Farrah. Yeah, we're going to try this out and see how it goes. We're probably not going to do this every show, but whenever we see some newsworthy events or headlines, we're going to kind of present them to you and let you hear about it. So here we go. The first story I have is from the General Worldwide Disney Company, and in November they announced for the first time ever they've broken $4 billion at the global box office. Now that's $4 billion with a B, which is an incredible amount of money. And this year, if you think back on it, it does totally make sense in that Iron Man 3 had about $1.2 billion, Monsters University had $740 million, Oz the Great and Powerful was this year still, which it seemed like so long ago. That was $493 million. And the new Thor movie, The Dark World, that's already up to $550 million. So, and that's still going. And now for this year still, we've got Frozen, which opened this week. And we've got Saving Mr. Banks, which is still coming up to be released. So they're going to get a little boost, I think, from that. So $4 billion.
Frozen looks like it's going to be huge. I know the new Catching Fire, it was, I think, still in number one, but of course, because it's Catching Fire. But it was, I believe, this past weekend, its opening weekend, right up there with it, which is, you know, a strong showing, I think.
It is. It definitely is a fantastic movie. I got to see it the other day.
So. Oh, awesome.
Oh, cool.
How does it compare, Tom?
I think the music is phenomenal. It's more modernized to me music, but still makes a lot of sense as far as the story goes. I think Kristen Bell did a fantastic job as Anna. Her kind of awkwardness, quirkiness into the character is really good. It's humor, I think, for both males and females, kids and adults. I think Olaf is hilarious.
It's a pretty good storyline. I mean,
it's a very good storyline. It's about sisterly love and about, you know, what one sister would never give up on another one. It's got a lot of really, really good storylines too, I think. Animation's fantastic. It's a movie that I actually would buy the soundtrack to. I think the music is absolutely phenomenal.
I've heard really good things about the music, and
that's good.
As of December 2nd, according to Box Office Mojo, worldwide it's made $113 million. 96, wow. 96 and a half million domestic. So looks to be another pretty big movie for Disney.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, you probably could expect a lot of Oscar. Well, you know, some Oscar nominations and stuff for that too.
Oh, let's hope so. Okay. Well, moving a little closer to Florida, They announced the top food purchases, the top food choices for the Food and Wine Festival for this year.
That'll be interesting.
Down at Epcot. And for the second year in a row, Canada's Wild Mushroom Beef Filet has won. This list of five is based on, I guess, how many they sold, you know, of each product. So that was served from the Le Cellier stand over in Canada. The runner-up, second year in a row also for that, was the Pork Slider Sandwich in the Hawaii Marketplace.
I think that's like the two things we didn't try.
Suckers.
So, you know, probably because there were long lines, though. So.
Sure.
I cannot believe you didn't. There was a food item out there that you did not try.
There was a couple, not very many. There was that whole vegetarian stand that we didn't visit at all. We
didn't do the desserts either. That's true.
Nah, we didn't. We did the cheese cart, though.
Argentina came in third and fourth with the grilled beef skewer and the beef empanada. Did you try either of those?
I don't think I did.
What the heck?
Apparently, I tried all the stuff that isn't that great.
We have one more. Number five spot went to Canada again with the cheddar cheese soup.
Yes. I knew it.
And the cheese soup.
There you go. And that's always big. Everybody always talks about that.
I've had the cheese soup, not at the Food and Wine Festival, but when we've eaten at La Salle, I've had the cheddar cheese soup. It's actually, you can find that recipe in a lot of the cookbooks around Disney.
Oh, very cool.
I've had the filet at Le Cellier, and it was really, really good.
Yeah, it is.
That's it.
It is really good. Okay, now go into a little numbers for some news. A little more than 50 years ago, Walt took his first flight over Orlando to spot out where the Walt Disney properties would be. So that just came up a little, I think it was the second week of November, which was pretty cool. The Orlando Sentinel ran a story about that, which was really nice to read. And the last thing is, how old do you think Mickey is this year, guys?
85.
Mickey?
85, Tom. Excellent. Right on.
Whoa.
Wow.
This is his 85th year. And it's pretty cool because they gave us some dates as far as who else was born in 1928. And some of these names are pretty cool. Fats Domino and Bo Diddley. Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Shirley Temple. Burt Bacharach and Rosemary Clooney. And the artist Andy Warhol. Which was really cool. Richard Sherman was also born in 1928. And, of course, Minnie Mouse, who was also in Steamboat Willie with Mickey. Well, that's it for the news this week.
So, you know, the idea of this news came from a listener, and I want to give a shout-out to him. Brett Baudouin sent us an email about the idea of doing the news. So we really appreciate it. And if there's anything else you guys would like to hear on the show, please send us an email to thedisneynerds.com.
Yeah, definitely. We'll try to take advantage of the ideas that you guys give us because everything we've gotten so far has been great. We try to work it into the shows.
Well, thanks, Ed, for the our new segment. Like you said, we're going to have that every couple of episodes or so. So now let's get rolling with our discussion of everything Disney Christmas. And I guess we can go ahead and get started with what's probably the signature event at Disney during the Christmas time, which is Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I actually just experienced this a few weeks ago. We went to the Very Merry Christmas Party on our trip just a couple weeks ago. Just like the Halloween one, it is a hard ticketed event, so you do have to buy a separate ticket for it. For those who don't want to use a park pass that day, getting with the Halloween one, they start let you in about 4 o'clock with your hard ticket for the Merry Christmas Party.
And you know, it's, Tom, I that because you had said that tip before, and I actually had a friend that went a week or so ago, and I gave that tip to them. I was like, you know. You can go there. You don't have to use your thing. You don't have to use another day. You can just go at 4 and then schedule you like a little lunch, a little supper, early supper or something, maybe at the Liberty Tree Tavern and, you know, just make a kind of a late day of it, you know, doing that. That's excellent. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go right ahead.
Oh, no worries. That's kind of nice to know that our tips are working for other people. It's
yeah.
The reason we do these. So,
yeah.
There's many things you can do, like the trick-or-treating with the Halloween one. The Christmas party comes with unlimited hot chocolate and cookies at various locations.
Yeah.
So
I really like that. It's been a couple years since I've been, but when we went, you know, they had that, but it was, the only thing is when I went, it was hot. I mean, I don't mean like the hot cocoa was hot. I mean, like the weather was hot.
It was South Florida hot?
Yeah. It lost a little of its wintry fun for us, you know, and it was so super crowded. And we were like, it was really hot and not Christmas hot. I mean, not hot cocoa hot. It was Southern Florida hot. And that kind of took a little of the wintertime fun away from it. But we still had a good time. You know, we got our cookies and we got our hot chocolate for everybody. And then we used the stroller as a battering ram to get us a good spot on Main Street and watch the fireworks. And
so it's you guys.
So you're one of those people.
I'm the one. Oh, yeah. With my husband behind me in tow, holding the cookies and the hot chocolate.
Okay, guys, really detailed question. What kind of cookies?
Sugar cookies. Okay. Well, from what I remember. Now,
there's snickerdoodles, I think.
Oh, okay. Too. See, my data is a few years old.
Were they
years.
Were they shaped?
Round.
They're round, yeah.
They were in the shape of a circle.
I was hoping for Mickey shaped or, you know, Pluto shaped.
Well, I guess if you put three of them together.
If you put three of them together.
Other special events we have is a really, really nice stage show full of dancing and singing, really like Nutcracker ballet style dancing.
Oh, wow. And there's
Holiday Wishes, which is really cool. Again, it's a signature fireworks event that you can only see during the Merry Christmas party.
So, Tom, let me ask you this, because I've never been. I've been, you know, in 2006, me and my wife went down, like, we got there, like, New Year's Day, but never for a party. How do you compare the Holiday Wishes to Hallow Wishes?
I think I like the Halloween maybe a little better, just because it's got the Halloween theming to it.
Okay.
I like the music. I like the projection on the castle is a lot cooler for the Halloween, but the Holiday Wishes is just, to me, is really good as well. The fireworks, what's one thing I will say that's kind of, I would like about Holiday, which is more on the Halloween ones, that there's actually fireworks shooting off of the actual castle for the Holiday ones, like in various locations that I've never seen before, except during that one, like shooting stuff off the, like those spinning firework things you might see. I don't know what they're called, but they're like a pinwheel that spins. They're on the front of the castle. That's kind of neat.
And does that fireworks show go? I know when I've seen Hollow Wishes, it goes 360 degrees. Like if you're behind the castle, you're completely surrounded. Is it the same thing?
I would say maybe 180 degrees. So it's like be straight to your left and straight to your right, but it will not be behind you.
Gotcha.
So it's definitely, it covers more ground than your basic wishes, but yeah, I wouldn't say it's all encompassing all the way around you.
Gotcha.
It's got Christmas music theming too, which is kind of cool. Like they do like old Christmas tree, and they'll start shooting fireworks into a triangle shape, green fireworks that make it look like a Christmas tree. That part's really cool how they can sync all that so well.
Awesome.
Very cool.
How about the parade? Do they do the Christmas parade for the party too?
Oh yeah, they do. And that's actually really cool too. And what's really neat is all the, well, just say all, but the majority of the floats are scented. So if it's it's kind of like a skier one where it shoots off evergreen scent. So as it's coming by, it's like evergreen. And then there'll be a gingerbread one on those shoot senses of gingerbread out. So that's really cool. So you actually get your sense of smell when it's doing that. So they got people on rollerblades on those. They got people on roller skis during that. Unless it's raining. If it's raining, the rollerbladers and the roller skiers will not be out. I am assuming for safety purposes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The dancing is really good. The holiday parade is really neat. It's really got a Christmas, feel to it that kind of gets you into the season. I saw mine early November, so to get you in the Christmas spirit in early November is quite the task, and it does very good job at doing that.
Very cool. I've heard this before. I haven't proved it myself, so take it with a grain of salt. But the final week before Christmas, I understand that the actual parade becomes the Christmas parade. So it's the same, it's the same parade they use in the party, but they have it in the parks those nights normally. So it's not like
you don't necessarily pay for. You don't have to pay to get into the party to see that Christmas parade.
Right.
Well, I do know they do, during sometime in December, they do the taping for the Christmas Day Parade at Magic Kingdom as well. So they heard that's not a whole lot of fun to be there because the parade will move 2 feet. They'll do a little thing that takes 15 minutes and they'll move another 20 feet. It takes forever to do the taping, I guess, for that.
I've heard the same. I've never been there, but I've heard the same thing that it's actually pretty. Yeah. It's not a real fun experience to be there while they're taping it, other than the fact that you may get yourself on TV.
Yeah, we were at Disney World when they were filming that, one year, a few years ago, but we avoided it. We avoided Magic Kingdom when they were filming. They had two days. They had they filmed on 2 days. I guess they had a day and then a backup day, and we went elsewhere.
We were there for that too, and it was kind of cool because you got to see a little behind the scenes because they opened up the walkways behind Main Street for people to get in and out of the park because they couldn't have Main Street closed down and let the rest of the park be open, I guess. They have to still be able to get people in and out. So that was kind of cool, but it was a mob. It was out of control.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay, well, so as far as the Christmas party goes, the Magic Kingdom, what else is there that kind of stands out?
There's dance parties all over the park, like in Cosmic Rays. They lower Sunny Eclipse down, and they bring up a whole DJ set, so there's big-time dance party going on there. Where they do that Stitch 626 dance party, there's another dance party over there. There's characters everywhere. I mean, if meeting characters is your deal, Christmas party is all for you, because there's so many to see.
When I was there during the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, they had this little area off to the right of the castle towards the walkway that goes in between Tomorrowland and Fantasyland. And it was Belle in this little alcove kind of thing, and she was reading a story. I don't really remember the story, but I assume it was some kind of Christmas story, or maybe it was Beauty and the Beast. But I don't know. Did they still have that, or is that maybe...
I don't think for Belle, because now they have Enchanted Tales and she can't be in two places at once. So,
good point.
I think what you're talking about, that's Merida's meet and greet place.
Oh, right.
Is that down by the on the side of the castle? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it was.
That's where when we were there, that's where Merida was.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Now, something else I wanted to ask about the party, Tom, was. I know when, for the Halloween party, when you first walk through, the very first thing you see, the whole atmosphere setting is all the pumpkins and the candles, and the spooky fog. When you're first getting there for the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, right there at the train station, but then also in the big circle and in Main Street, can you describe what kind of things? Obviously, there's Christmas decorations, but do they do anything special for the party or
the actual party itself? Yeah, the Main Street's snowing.
That's awesome.
They got wreaths everywhere. They got toy soldiers, statues in a lot of places. Poinsettias, the whole front of the building is just tons and tons and tons of poinsettias. Yeah, the decorations, lights everywhere. I mean, the castle's obviously got lit up too. It's got the icicle lights on it that's during the wintertime as well.
I have a question that you probably know, since being the big Disney factoid person. We used to always go during Christmas time, and there was the whole debate whether the tree was real or not real. And I was told, oh yes, they get this tree off of Mount Shasta or something in California. But then years later, I saw some Disney program that showed the tree, like, actually in three pieces in some warehouse. And they talked about, you know, so I mean, I don't know if it was once, you know, they would always get a big real tree off of Mount Shasta and, you know, spray it down with this non-flammable stuff. And now they decided just to go fake. Do you know that? Does anybody know the answer to that?
I don't know the definite answer, but I would take a guess because that was the last thing when we were there. They were setting up for Christmas. They had everything set up throughout the park except for the Christmas tree. That supposedly was waiting for when they did the actual filming of the parade. So because of that, I'm guessing real. But the thing is, though, when Disney does Christmas, they don't just do it in the parks. They do it everywhere. So what's cool is that every park has a really nice Christmas tree right outside of it that's themed to that park. Animal Kingdom has a huge Christmas tree that's got some really cool animal ornaments and things like that on it. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Studios has a really, really cool Christmas tree out before you get the bag search done. Epcot also has a lot of... I'm not sure Epcot has their Christmas tree where that was. I can't remember off the top of my head. But since we are moving over to Epcot, we want to talk about a little some of our favorite things about Christmas over there. Now, some of us have done these things and some of us haven't, so we're going to kind of go back and forth. One of the things that sticks out with Epcot, of the remaining traditions, is that each of the World Showcase countries has a Santa Claus, or their version of the Santa story, because not everyone has a Santa. So it's pretty cool when you have the time to walk around those countries, and on a time schedule, Santas will come out to wherever they have their chair set up or their location set up in that country and put on a show. Talk about their Santa, their story behind where they came from and things like that. And it's a really, really cool experience. It's actually like you're learning something on vacation. Very cool. Have you guys ever done any of that?
When we were there in 2006, which was, we got there right up like New Year's Day, but we did get to see some of the Santas. Who was your favorite, Ed?
I thought Italy was pretty cool because it was a woman. It was, I can't remember her name. It was Nana something. And it was pretty cool. It would really kind of shock the kids. We had to kind of explain that afterwards.
Germany, like, it, as Americans, that would be the closest to, like, what we consider Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, I think maybe that's because our Santa
is kind of based on that.
More from that, yeah.
I thought Norway was pretty close, too.
Yeah, Norway probably is too.
But they're...
Oh, this one's really cool. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't know they had this. To be honest with you.
Oh yeah, no, it's awesome to do it because just like everything else at Disney, these people they hire are spot on. They play the part to the T, and it shows. And you know, it's kind of that whole feeling of the holiday season on top of everything that just makes it a little bit more magical. Definitely a fun experience to do. Try out. And something else to try out while you're walking around World Showcase is the Candlelight Processional. Epcot every year has this show they call the Candlelight Processional that takes place at the American Gardens Theater. It's a really nice show that tells the Christmas story. And they have it, I think, two or three times a night. I want to say two. It's really nice in that you can kind of combine that with a dinner or lunch at Epcot. And I'm not going to go through the specific rules because I know they've changed over the last couple of years and I haven't had a chance to see how they are this year. So the Candlelight Processional, in a nutshell, is a show that tells the Christmas story. It's extra special because they have the singers from the American Adventure over there, the Voices of Liberty, and they also invite choirs and bands from around the area and around the country to come in and accompany them. Basically, what you're doing, you're sitting in the audience and you watch everybody walk in solemnly. And then the final person to walk in is the guest star. And the guest star actually reads through the Christmas story, takes a break every verse, and then the band, choir, come on, do their song, and then he continues. What's pretty cool is the stars they have for the spokesperson or for the speaker are always like first-class names. So it's always a fun show to watch. I found the list online of who they have this year, and it's a pretty cool list. I'm just going to read through it real quick. When I saw it, we had Brian Dennehy. He was the spokesperson for when we did it, and he was great.
That's a good one, yeah.
He had the cadence down of doing that, and you know he was totally reading, and he looked like he was having a good time too. Like he was very involved. So anyway, here are the stars. Gary Sinise, Neil Patrick Harris, Ashley Judd, Whoopi Goldberg, Sigourney Weaver, Dennis Haysbert, James Denton, Edward James Olmos, Trace Atkins. They don't have who's going to be there for December 23rd, 25th, so actually for Christmas Day. They still have to announce that one. But after Christmas, they still do it for a couple more days. And Blair Underwood, and then Amy Grant finishes it out. So there's a lot of good stars in there. There's actually a couple names I'm not even sure who they are, so I'll have to do a little reading after this. Sigourney Weaver, that's pretty cool, and I have her in a Disney park again. Got to get over to Disney Hollywood Studios.
Gary Sinise. Yeah.
Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan, he's in Mission Space.
Right, yep.
Neil Patrick Harris, I hear, loves Disney, too.
I was going to say, I thought I had not seen that, but you talking about it jogged my memory. I have seen it.
Ed, just to give you a heads up, online, on allears.net, the December 23rd through the 25th will be Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be good.
Who's
for
that?
He's a Christian artist.
Yeah, he's a Christian musician.
Oh, same, okay. Same with Amy Grant. Dennis Haysbert would be good. He's got a good speaking voice, so he'd be good with that, too.
Yeah, usually they have some really good spot-on people for this. The Candlelight Processional, if you haven't guessed, is going to be very crowded, and I've seen the line start up to 2 hours before the show. A lot of times, like I mentioned before, you can get a deal where you go to dinner, a package. You go to dinner, and then you get priority seating. Even with the priority seating, we still got online 45 minutes early on the priority line. And the one final tip I can give you about seeing the Candlelight Processional is don't sit too close. If you have the option, don't sit in those first three rows. If you could sit a little further back from that, we made that mistake, and you basically can't see everything. And this show is meant to actually sit back and take in everything as it's going on. So Candlelight Processional is definitely something that you should check out.
Awesome. I would love to go, especially when they have one of the really good announcers, the narrators. I'd really like to go.
I agree. I'd love to see Neil Patrick Harris do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was saying, I hadn't thought that I had been, but actually when we went, we didn't wait in line. We walked up and stood towards the back, and you know, after it had already started, and it was Virginia Madsen, and she was really, really good.
Oh, yeah, she would be. You're right. Very cool. Okay, well, as far as Epcot goes, they are decorated for Christmas, but I don't think that's pretty much all they think they still have. They used to have that really cool tunnel of dancing lights between World Showcase and Future World, but I don't think that's there anymore. At least it wasn't last year. So let's move on to Disney Hollywood Studios. The Hollywood Studios have a really, really good treat. They decorate the Streets of America every year with Christmas lights. And this is something that I think all of us have seen. Am I right?
Yes.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
The Osborne Family Lights. Really, really good.
And, so here's my deal. We were there, and we went in 2006, and I didn't have all of the knowledge that I have now about Disney. So we got to see the lights, but we didn't actually get to see the whole show because we had no idea. So we didn't get to watch them when they flip the switch and they do the dancing to the music. We got to walk through down the street and see all the lights, but we didn't actually get to watch the whole show.
Yeah.
Tom, tell us what the Osborne Family Lights are about.
Well, originally with a family in Arkansas, this dad, his daughter requested one year that he put up a lot of lights in the house. And I guess they have a really, really big house. So he bought, I think it was a million, I think it was like 100,000 lights or something to fill up his house. And then he got so popular, he bought the two houses next to him, like in later years, and then decorated those as well. And then he started doing it to music and making a change. And eventually Disney adopted this light show from this guy that lived in Arkansas, and now that's where the name the Osborne's Festival of Dancing Lights came from, is from this family in Arkansas. I'll admit, when they said Osborne, I thought it was the Osborne family plug. I didn't know it was the regular family.
It's set to Black Sabbath music.
I felt really naive when I found out I was wrong. But anyways, it's got the whole Streets of America. I mean, there's not a single square inch, I think, on any building on that entire block and a half that's not covered in lights.
Oh, true. Very true. One of the fun things that we found out when we saw them for the first time was that even with all those lights going on, and just for, so for the people who don't know what it is, really quick, on New York Avenue and San Francisco Street and the streets of America, those are the streets that get decorated with the lights. And it goes basically all the way down to where that loop is, where the backlot tour tram turns around. And everywhere there are lights, and their lights are called dancing lights because basically they follow the music and they go on and off and kind of keep a beat. The show is incredible in that when you get there, you just want to hang out. It's snowing just like it was on Main Street over at the Magic Kingdom. And the snow is kind of odd. What do you think it is, guys? A little soapy, maybe, or something like that?
Yeah, it looks like dish soap.
That's what I think.
Yeah. And so basically, once Osborne donated the lights, originally the show was on the backlot tour.
Remember, it was on Residential Street.
Right. And to be honest with you, that's my biggest gripe with growing up, not knowing enough about Disney at the time, is that I missed seeing it over there. Now that it's on Streets of America, I try to get over there as much as possible.
And what's nice about now is that with the new Glow with the Show, those will sync with the dancing lights as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool. That'll be very cool.
Nice. They're making those things pretty like interactive with all kind of different things. Different shows and different parades, and they're kind of they're making them things work all over, so it's pretty neat.
My son got them during the Osborne lights, and yeah, they're pretty cool. There's also like 48 hidden Mickeys somewhere scattered all through all the lights too.
There's also a cat.
What?
So when Disney went to Jennings Osborne's house to pick up all the lights to move the display to Disney, they accidentally took this black cat that was actually part of his Halloween decorations. So ever since then, and this goes back to like 1995, every year the black cat is somewhere, and it's just like a little game that the cast members hide it. It's somewhere. It'll be in a window somewhere. It'll be, and every year it moves. So people who really follow it and go every year, that's a big deal. They got to go find the black cat.
That's pretty fun. You always like those little extra things you can do. Same thing with the hidden Mickeys. We had, I think the last time we went, they had a list of them, or they gave us a number anyway, the cast member. So we went around trying to find all the hidden Mickeys, and they're made out of lights usually, so they're kind of mixed in with all the other decorations.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. The music is really cool, and they kind of have a DJ going too. It's a man-woman DJ team that are going through as if it's a radio station. Then they'll go into a song, and they'll come back with introductions about Sylvania supplying the lights, and Sylvania's a Siemens company, and then go into the next song. If you can imagine, what's the group that does electric Christmas music?
Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Is made for these lights. The shows, they use a lot of their music, and it works very well with the dancing lights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's Goofy dressed as Santa to get pictures with during the festival lights as well.
That's cool. So there's actually I'm looking at something on the internet. They actually have the song list. So the current song list is Christmas Eve by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Jingle Bells by Barbra Streisand, A Mad Russian's Christmas by Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano, Here Comes Santa Claus by Elvis Presley, Parade of the Wooden Soldiers by Arthur Fiedler and Boston Pop Orchestra, I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas by the Plain White Tees, Christmas is Starting Now by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and Winter Wonderland, the original arrangement by Dan Stamper.
Awesome.
They play Carol of the Bells in there, too. I know that for a fact.
And the Christmas is Starting Now by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is from the Phineas and Ferb Christmas Vacation special. And I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas by the Plain White Tees is from Prep and Landing, Naughty vs. Nice.
So the Disney connection.
So they're tying them in, even though you wouldn't connect Plain White Tees or Big Bad Voodoo Daddy with Disney. That's where that comes from.
Right. For those listening, after we post the show, look on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page. I'll post the video that we took of the Barbra Streisand song from the San Francisco street, looking down it. It's a pretty cool video. It gives you an example of what we're talking about.
I'll even check that one out.
Okay. I will too. We'll do it justice. It's so much better live than it is on video. I gotta say, seeing a video, it's worth seeing it on video, but it can't compare to seeing it in person.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree. Everything's going on everywhere. It's beautiful. A tip for this is to wait toward the end of the day. If it's a night where they're showing Fantasmic, it's a perfect time to head over to where they have the Osborne family lights. A lot of people are going to the other side of the park, which leaves this side pretty much open. And it's so much nicer to kind of walk around and have a little elbow room as opposed to being really tight in there.
Another thing I'll say, if you want a picture with Goofy, if that's, like, if you, if that's what you want, try to be in that area when it starts, because the line will get long really fast.
I just thought of another one real quick. If you get there at the beginning of the lights, which, depending on what time the sun goes down, like 6, 6:30 when it gets dark enough, they have a little ceremony where they turn on the lights. Jimmy kind of mentioned
like a big switch, huh?
And they have an electric wall, like a wall switch, but a big one, that whoever the family is, they'll introduce them, and then they'll all flip the switch, and then everything comes on, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
I want to flip the switch.
Well, now you know. You have to be there early.
Makes me want to do a Disney trip, you know, during the holidays.
Sure. If you can swing it, it's definitely a fun time to go. It's the Disney parks you know with a nice little holiday twist. I mean, it's a perfect situation down there at this time of the year.
We've been down many times, you know, during the September, October, you know, during when it's decorated for fall and Halloween, but... So probably wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe head down there, you know, mid to late November and try and get some of that Christmas feel in there.
The best times date-wise is usually after the Thanksgiving week to about maybe 2 weeks before Christmas. That, like, two-week period, usually empties out. Everybody's getting back to school between the holidays and trying to get everything done before the holidays start. So that's a little
a great
less.
Tip.
Yeah.
But... Let me just throw this out there. You might want to go check out and see when the Pop Warner Championships are, because the last time we went during Christmas time, we went the exact same time for the exact same reason, but the Pop Warner cheerleader and football championships were there, so it was packed with tweens.
So yes,
does that affect
thousands and thousands of tweens?
You know, I mean, I've heard of that before. I've heard of the Pop Warner thing before, but I was always under the impression that really, really affects the hotels more than it does at the parks, because most of the tweens are there during the day. They're going to be at whatever their events and stuff kind of at.
Well, they usually have 1 day at the parks or 2 days at the parks out of their week, so you got to watch out for that. But yeah, I agree. It's the value resorts fill up very fast during that week. But good point, Farrah. That's a good one. I forgot about that. Okay, well, I tell you what. We've run really, really long, but we didn't want to finish without first mentioning one last thing that Disney does very well in the holiday season, and that's decorate the resorts. When you stay at a Disney hotel during the holiday season, you can be amazed by what they can do. I've been lucky enough to stay at the Grand Floridian, just to give you an example. And one of their trademarks for the holiday season is they build a gingerbread house inside the main lobby. It's a pretty big house. When we were there, they were just finishing it up. They had the cherry picker out so that they had to get high enough and put the shingles on. It just makes the atmosphere incredible because you smell the gingerbread. Of course, the hotel's decorated otherwise Christmas in that they have trees everywhere and wreaths and such like that. But the gingerbread house is a nice little attraction. And you can also buy the gingerbread, which is very cool. They sell shingles. And at the time we were there, they were about $7 or $8 each. Now I can imagine they're probably above 10. But definitely a good souvenir to take away with you. How about you guys? Cool. Have you guys seen anything at the hotels during the holiday season?
Yeah. I love the one that was the Wilderness Lodge also did the gingerbread decoration, which their spin on it, I guess, being the Wilderness Lodge, was a huge ski resort, including like the chair lifts and the slopes and everything. It was incredible.
Wow.
And the smell when you walk in was amazing.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very, very fun to see those things. I'm not sure which hotel is it. I'm thinking it's the Boardwalk or... It might be the Beach Club, but somebody also does a carousel, like a boardwalk carousel, which is pretty cool, at a gingerbread. So definitely something that's really nice to see at the resort when it's holiday time, the decorations. And you can almost just walk around and enjoy that for half a day or so.
Yeah, you could probably spend almost a day just at the resorts, I would imagine, just kind of walking around.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's going to be a topic for a show down the road. Okay, well, I tell you what, we've gone really long, and I'm sure we've missed some things, so please email us. Let us know what we missed today talking about the holiday season at the Walt Disney World Resort and Parks. Email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And if you have a chance, stop by the Facebook page, either the Disney Nerds group or the Disney Nerds podcast page itself.
And if you're looking to maybe plan a trip during the holidays or even after the holidays, give me a call or an email, and we can definitely help you with that. We are a fee-free agency, so it doesn't cost you any extra to book with us than it would if you booked directly with Disney. So you can contact me at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com. Or look us up on Facebook or call us at 504-304-4904 and just please leave us a message.
Yeah. And I have a little shout out. If anyone's looking to take me to Disney World, I offer free accompaniment to Disney World. You can email me at willingtogotodisneyworldwithanyone@gmail.com. Oh, please don't email it that day. Anyway, I had to get my shout out.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Woo-hoo! Hey, guys.
See you guys.
Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys, and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones, I feel the warmth that's coming from Oh, look, what's this? The hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired! The gathering around, hearing story, roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this? What's this? In here, they've got a little tree. How queer! And who would ever think? And why? They're covering it with tiny little things. They've got electric lights on strings, and there's a smile on everyone. So now correct me if I'm wrong. This looks like fun, this looks like fun. Oh, could it be I got my wish? What's this? Oh my, what now? The children are asleep. But look, there's nothing underneath. No ghouls, no witches here to scream and scare them or ensnare them. Only little cozy things secure inside their dreamland. What's this? The monsters are all missing and the nightmares can't be found. And in their place there seems to be good feeling all around. Instead of screams, I swear I can hear music in the air. The smell of cakes and pies are absolutely everywhere. The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh I want it, oh I want it for my own. I've got to know it is this place that I am found. What is this? Christmas Town?